Father God, it is an honor to be here with your people today. We thank you, Father, that you sent your Son and that we have a chance to remember that and to celebrate that today. We thank you, Father, that you are light and in you there is no darkness at all, and that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness could not overtake it. So we're thankful, Father, for the light you give us to walk each day, the light you sent into the world to be the Savior of all. We thank you, Lord, that we can reflect your light and be the people you've called us to be. And we thank you, Lord, that we have this group of people to share your light with on this corner of Almont. We bless you, Lord. We praise you today. It's such a privilege to be in your house. We have many requests that we bring to you, but the thing that we most want to say is that we love you. We worship you. We give you our hearts. We give you our souls. We give you our time, our talent, our finances. Everything we have, Lord Jesus, is yours. And we bow before your throne. Today we want to pray for the King family as they're still recovering from COVID. And we want to pray especially for Norma and the situation she's in. And we pray, Father, that you would lift her up and strengthen her, that you would make her well in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, for all the others in our lives that you've brought in, that you would show us how we can minister to them, and that in ministering to each other, we would show the world that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Help us be that light. We ask, Lord, as the message is brought to us today, that our hearts would be open to receive your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.
Good morning. I'm back. I would say let's go to prayer right now, but Llewellyn has already said what was on my mind. And I just want to say at 7 o'clock this morning, many changes were made by the Lord to what I was saying, what I planned to say. So if you see me going like this, it's because I'm trying to read those changes. The topic I have for today is, or the title is, Certain of Uncertainty. And there are various scripture references, so I'm not going to ask you to turn to any one of them. You might want to look at Daniel 10 or even Matthew 2, but other than that, I'll just be reading them. Last week, I began talking about how this has been a year filled with uncertainty. An uncertainty that we've never experienced before. In fact, I guess I'd say uncertainty is certainly an apt description for 2020. However, in this Bible inspired by God, this Bible is truth, and it is filled with examples of how common uncertain times are and have been throughout history. It hasn't changed because of COVID-19, the election, wars of past, present, or maybe future, destruction, or any other problems. Jesus Christ in this book was and is the same today and forever. And his words will bring us life. And in this book, we can learn how to live without fear and in a way that leads to a fruitful life, no matter the difficulty or the uncertainty that may be in it. Today, I want to share about two people from the Bible who lived in times much like ours today. And maybe we can learn a little something about how we can react in our experiences. The first one is from Daniel in the Old Testament, and the second one is Jesus Christ in the New. In Daniel 10, Daniel was probably about 80 years old or more. And when he received, at that time, a horrific vision from the Lord, it troubled him greatly. In fact, it propelled Daniel into 3 weeks of great mourning and fasting for Jerusalem, and also passionate prayer, seeking understanding from God. Then, after 21 days of intense prayer, without an answer, Daniel received a holy visitation, whose appearance and whose voice were so brilliant that they overpowered him physically. And losing all his strength, Daniel fell in a sleep, a deep sleep, with his face to the ground. Understanding Daniel's fear, the visitor reached out and touched him. And in verses 10 and 11, he said, "Oh, Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand up, for I have now given, for now I have been sent to you." How encouraging that the first thing God did for Daniel at that time, and also for us when we're in a crisis, is to give reassurance of his love, to let us know that he's watching over us and his powerful hand covers us at all times. You know, God wants us to pay attention as well and understand the words that he is telling us, especially when we feel like running away and hiding, or when our knees get weak and we fall to the ground. He wants us to get up, to get ready, and be prepared to do whatever he calls us to do. "Don't be afraid, Daniel," the visitor continued, for from the moment you decided to humble yourself to receive understanding, your prayer was heard, and I have come because of your words." Then he explained that he was coming with an answer from the first day of Daniel's prayer, but the prince of the air had blocked him for 21 days. And a few verses later, down in verse 19, the messenger touched Daniel again, saying, "O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be to you. Be strong." Yes, be strong. Daniel was frightened by the vision, but he was reassured. Daniel lost his strength, but it was restored. Daniel felt weak and helpless, but the messenger's words strengthened him. And it's a good thing to remember that God can bring us healing when we are hurt, and peace when we're troubled, and strength when we're weak. We must trust God to minister to each of us, just as he did to Daniel. And what a lesson for us that Daniel had been praying for 3 weeks with no results. And yet in verses 10 and 12, it tells us that from the moment he'd set his mind to gain understanding and to humble himself before God, Daniel's words were heard. Imagine, not only the prayers of Daniel, but also the prayers for all of God's children are heard from the moment that they cross our minds. Please understand that even if we struggle to hear God, he does not struggle to hear us. Remember, when we, like Daniel, consistently long for response but get none, we need to know that he hears. Even if his answer takes a while, rest in the knowledge that the answer is on its way. Isaiah 65:24 says, "Before they call, I will answer. While they're still speaking, I will hear." When an answer isn't received right away, don't get mad thinking that God doesn't care or that about our concerns or that he doesn't love us. We may not know the reasons for delay in delivery, but it could mean that the enemy is trying to stop the answer, just as he did with Daniel. So how should we react to delay? How should we react to delay? For me, there's one word, and that's persistence. We shouldn't let a delayed answer cause us to throw in the towel and quit. Why not be like Daniel and strengthen our resolve to, as Winston Churchill said during World War II, never, never, never give up, even if it takes 21 days, several months, or 50 years. Keep praying. Lean in stronger. If the enemy is the one causing the delay, the answer must be worth the wait, or he wouldn't try to prevent it from coming. Don't stop one day short or one moment short of receiving your answer. And you know, when Jesus was born, the Jews of that time also struggled with fear and uncertainty under Roman occupation and rule. In Matthew 2, verses 1 to 3, it says, Jesus was born in Bethlehem, in Judea, during the reign of King Herod. About that time, wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." And King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. For Herod was a ruthless and suspicious man, and anyone else called King of the Jews was a threat to him, and news about this would certainly draw his attention. So from the very beginning, Herod was on the attack. Yet despite the killing of many innocent little boys and all the deadly obstacles thrown at Christ by man and by Satan throughout his life, Jesus was able to accomplish his purpose of salvation and redemption for all the world who would receive it. His mission began in Bethlehem, and so did the battle, but it was finished at the crucifixion and resurrection in God's perfect timing. You see, nothing and no one can prevent God's plans from being accomplished. Sometimes the plans formed against us, God uses to be a benefit. I can't say that I ever noticed before I started planning this message that not only Herod, but all Jerusalem was troubled about the news too. For many in that day, the idea of a new king for the Jews, or a Messiah, was one who would do great military or political activities, and they would rescue the people from Roman occupation. But it would also bring a lot of trouble. So could it be that the people of Jerusalem feared what sort of paranoid outburst might come from Herod after he'd heard of a rival king being born? I don't know the answer, it's just a thought. And doesn't it seem to be true today that Jesus still disturbs people? Most of the world, even in the United States, are alarmed by the idea of a Savior like Jesus. School administrators, all forms of media, Washington, D.C., and even some church denominations and other religions have reacted negatively and forcefully to any public mention or display of Jesus. Of course, this shouldn't surprise us because Jesus warned us that as the day of his return drew near, the love of many would grow cold. John tells us in Revelation 22:11, "Let the one who does wrong and is vile continue in it." But he also says, "Let the one who does right and is holy continue doing so." In other words, as Christ followers, our response to the world who grows angrier and more evil toward us is not to retaliate with antagonism and vicious condemnation. That only fuels more contention and does not help the cause of Christ. It doesn't demonstrate that Christians are any different from those who are living in darkness. So, let the whole world be furious, but let your heart be ruled by the love of Jesus. Our power, all our power rests in his love. The power of prayer is a witness, and speaking his word of truth with mercy and remaining holy amidst a corrupt generation comes from the power of the Holy Spirit and the love of God. This kind of witness can convict those living in darkness to turn to the light, saying, "I think I'd like a little bit of that peace and joy that these people seem to have in these troubling times. I think I want to know about God." Now, doesn't that mean that we should live passively without confronting the lies and evil that takes place in our world? But we should do it like Christ, with a holy boldness flavored in mercy, compassion, and love. One of Satan's most powerful temptations is to entangle Christians in a predominantly political mindset. The devil isn't just making the world more furious at us. He's trying to make us as furious as the world is. He wants us to believe that we can resist assaults of persecution by ranting and raving and insults rather than speaking and demonstrating the gospel in a way that draws people to the Lord. He wants to replace our peace that passes understanding with contentiousness. Now I have to admit that I have fallen prey to this type of temptation. I've thought and even written some pretty angry letters with blistering words rather than pleading the truth with reason and kindness. You know what happened? I lost my peace. My stomach churned and angry thoughts invaded my heart. It was like I'd lost the heart of Jesus because I'd given in to the temptation to battle the world with worldly weapons. Have you ever read Christian articles or heard Christian speakers blast certain cultural forces and acts of deceit with vehement, angry, bombastic words? And how do you feel when you see or hear some of the rhetoric that's spewed about the election last month or anything else for that matter? Do you get angry and upset? Do you lose your peace? I do. We need to hear the truth, but not in a hateful manner. At times, it seems the church is involved in a chess match with the secular world. If we aren't careful, our immersion in this war will drain us of all the salt and all the light that Christ has given us to accomplish his purpose. Jesus lived in a time like ours and like Daniel's and like so many people from his word, a time when there is fear, uncertainty, and evil. But he didn't treat others with indifference, with vengeance, or hatred. Instead, he spent hours each day in prayer to the Heavenly Father, and he set about proclaiming the good news, healing the sick, performing miracles, and even raising the dead. In short, he kept about his Father's business. John 10:10 says that the thief comes to kill, to steal, and destroy, but that Jesus came to give life and to give it more abundantly. Yes, there will definitely be times of turmoil for all of us, but if we have received Jesus as our personal Savior, we can count on an eternal life with him that begins in this world and gives us peace and joy and hope. He will give us strength and peace to endure, no matter the circumstances, and he will enable us to fulfill the purpose for which we were created. He wants us to be in a living, active relationship with him and overflowing with forgiveness and love and guidance for the world to see, to be his salt and his light in a dark, dark world, and to be his ambassadors no matter where we are or what's happening. God is still on the throne. He is omnipotent over everything, and he has plans for you and for me for just such a time as this. And I pray that these times of great difficulty, no matter how long that they last or how intense they become, will be our 21 days of passionate prayer and action used by God to see heaven and earth move with his hand. Have you taken Christ's offer of forgiveness and eternal life? If not, then none of what he promises to happen for you is available. He's calling. If you're here today and you don't know Christ or you're not sure about it, then today is the day of salvation. I pray that you will receive him, and I promise that this Christmas will be one that is filled with more joy and more hope than you've experienced before. If you have any questions, please see me after the service. Let's pray. Lord God, I do thank you this morning that in this time of trouble and uncertainty that you are with us. I thank you for the love that you bring to us, Lord, and for the promise that we will have peace forevermore if we are walking with you. And so, Lord, I ask this morning, if there's anyone who needs to know you, that you would put a little tug on their shirt sleeves, Lord, or that you would do a deep work in their heart. And I pray, Lord, that this day and for the rest of the time to come, we too who are following you will let your salt and your light flavor the kind of people we are and shine out for others to see Jesus Christ. For it is for your glory and your praise and your purposes that we pray these things. Amen.